37 of Divided by Werewolves. It is playoff hockey time. My Kraken didn't even... I don't even know if they're allowed to watch the playoff games. That's how...
They fired Hextall today. I don't know if you saw.
Yeah.
Fired the head coach there.
Yeah. Which is, you know, I mean... It's like, given their first season, not great. But, I mean, you know... I don't know if that's much to be expected. Then the second season, they get all the way, you know, to the playoffs, pretty deep into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Almost beat the Stanley Cup champions.
Right.
But then this year, not all that great. So you wonder, you know, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't have let it try it for another year, but I don't, you know, who knows.
I think it's kind of that guy's track record, because the Flyers were the first team that signed him as a coach after, because they took him out. He had won the Frozen Four or whatever in college. I think it was Boston College or one of those schools is always good.
Yeah,
he had won with them, like, I don't know, maybe twice in a row or something. And so Philly was in search of a head coach, and they signed him, mm-hmm. and then fired him, and then the Kraken got him. And he kind of had a similar career in Philly. You know, it was just like, whether it was his fault or not, it just, the pieces never all came together.
Right. Yeah.
Which ultimately, you know, lands on his shoulders at the end of the day, you know.
Right. And Tampa Bay, I mean, they're three games down. I mean, they won their last game, so, you know, there's still hope. But I thought it was funny because, like, at the end of the third game, the, you know, Cooper there had a press conference, and he's like, "We need people who believe to come to the." To the game, next game. Like, if you don't believe, don't bother showing up. And I was like, dude, do your players believe? Because aside from some amazing, you know, saves on both sides, like, I'm not
sure. That's
crazy. I mean,
somebody said the exact same thing about the Leafs, mm-hmm. and they are now also down 3-1. Yeah. They're about to be eliminated by the fucking Bruins again.
Yeah, but I mean,
there are a lot of not competitive, I wouldn't say not competitive, but there's a lot of 3-0 and 3-1s in this first round of playoffs right now. There's not a lot of, like, 2-2s or, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, I need a team to kind of follow. So it's like, I hope that, you know, I mean, I guess I could watch Florida if they beat Tampa. But I kind of need, like...
So we'll know in about 3 hours.
Right, exactly.
Starting now.
Right, exactly. So, so that's always exciting, though, to kind of get back into the playoffs and the race for the cup. But yeah, hopefully it turns into a little bit more competitive. I mean, you figure if all of the teams that are winning now are winning by 3-4 game margins, then that means they're all going to start going up against each other, which hopefully would lead to some more competitive games. So, all right. Well, we have a couple movies. One I had not heard of. One I was actually, you know, really kind of excited to watch, but then, it was fine. But before we get to those two, I have two things real quick. One is I finally did get to watch Late Night with the Devil. I thought it was great. You know, basically, I agreed with everything that you had said about it. The set, the way in which they recreated, even just like the speaking style and the that kind of era of late night hosts, and then the effects being, you know, even though it was supposed to be like the real thing, where you would expect almost a higher degree of realism, it kind of worked. In that the effects seemed almost kind of 70s cheese. To fit with what was going on. But it was interesting. I was talking with somebody at work about it, and he was like, "It really bugged me, just because, like, you know, if it was supposed to be like all the behind the scenes footage, but then it's like in this beautiful like 4K, you know, quality," and I was like, every found footage movie, you either go with it or you don't. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
It is a genre of horror that you have to just go with it, I think, more than a lot of other ones, because, like, Like, I mean, I said, you know, I said, once you watched, what's it, The Outwaters or whatever?
Yeah.
Where the guy goes full-on insane and then horribly mutilates himself, holding the camera the entire time. Like, you pretty much right. just kind of let this stuff go.
Yeah.
It's well, like, saying, right? like it's why like... are they still filming? I mean, if that's kind of popping into your head, then the movie isn't right. working for you. But you really do have to kind of just, like... You know.
Yeah, you know, because the thing is, all right, if you want true found footage, then, I mean, guess what? You're not going to see shit. Like, there's right. be nothing to see. Like, right, you exactly. might hear some noises or whatever, but you're right. going to be looking at a broken camera or, you know, whatever. Right. Like, what do you like?
Yeah, yeah. I think his point was like, oh, what if they put, like, a filter or something on? And I was like, well.
Yeah, those things always look cheesy to me, though.
Right, exactly. I think that, yeah. I mean, I think it worked really well, and I was, you know, I was very excited. Because it came out the same day as the new Pearl Jam, so I was like, it happened. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, hell yeah. and then I finally got to watch, there's this movie called Mayhem. It's also called Farang, F-A-R-A-N-G. And I'd been waiting to watch it and finally did because I'd heard that it was one of the best action movies of this year. And it's about this guy who he's like an MMA, kind of like an MMA, like a Thai, he's a, like a Thai kickboxer. And he kind of gets paid to throw fights, and he's out of prison, and he's just trying to not go back into prison. But something happens in France where he lives, and he ends up going to Thailand and working there. And he kind of gets roped into, working for this, this drug runner, and then things go sideways, and it is the fight scenes are fantastic, but it's also incredibly brutal. Like, this is not one of these like PG-13, you know, kind of bloodless action movies, but it's also not like a John Wick where it's very technically gun oriented. I mean, there's cleavers in throats. There's, you know, people getting their hands chopped off. There's, you know, I mean, it's just, it really does remind me of, The Night Comes for Us in terms of like the level of nice. Like brutality. And it was like, I was like so excited just because not that I'm excited for super, you know, brutal stuff, but it's like, you know, I've been watching a lot of action movies of late that are a little more, sanitized. So to kind of see something that was like, you know, super like, I mean, you know, people getting, you know, they're, like I said, there's a lot of cleavers get buried in a lot of places.
Yeah, right. You know, I feel like maybe it's just because, you know, where I spend my time on the internet are the reactions to movies that I watch, right? I feel like every once in a while, and I know shit like Taken or whatever and all this, you know, it's just like kind of the shit that just bores me to fucking tears, to be honest.
Yeah.
I know that I'm in the minority and not caring for that stuff. And I know that stuff does gangbusters in the theaters and stuff. So that's why we get so much of it. But I feel like every time we get an upgrade, the excitement around something like that, right? Like this just like what looks maybe on the surface is maybe not too extreme of a movie. When you get into that movie and he's doing some of the stuff he's doing once that, you know, he gets that chip and like the violence is so brutal. Like, I feel like people like get excited because it's like, oh my God, you've never seen this before. Right. But then we go right back to Taken 3 or whatever. And it's
right.
Like,
and I think that's what it was. You're exactly right. That's exactly why I was so surprised because, I mean, I've been watching a lot of Scott Atkins movies, and Scott Atkins is a great action movie star. I mean, he's got a lot of personality. He makes good movies. And I mean, his movies, you know, they have some kind of brutality to it, too. But it's gun violence, right? Or it's hand to hand where maybe somebody's neck gets snapped or something, right? And I feel kind of weird talking about it in this way. But,
right.
you know, in terms of like that super like, you know, and this thing felt, I was like, oh, this is going to be, like, we've seen this movie so many times before where, you know, the guy, he's got the pass and then he, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He's got a, you know, protect his family and whatever. And so, yeah, so you, it kind of, you think it's going to be this kind of rote, somewhat almost by the numbers type of movie. And then that brutality kind of hits and you're like, oh shit, no, you know, like,
right.
this is much better. So, but yeah, it was really, I definitely recommend, if you could, it's available via, I kept waiting for it to hit, to be like streaming somewhere, and I finally just was like, you know, it's on video on demand, but I was like, this is like a perfect kind of Netflix type of thing. I'm actually surprised that it's not there. So definitely check it out. Okay, so the two movies, one is on Shudder. And that is Baghead, and then the other one is recently hit video on demand, was in theaters, and that is Immaculate. So which one would you like to do first?
Oh, let's get Baghead out of the way.
Yeah, so Baghead, if you watched, and I know you watched The Witcher, because The Witcher is your favorite video game series of all time. Freya Allen, who plays Ciri in The Witcher, she plays this young woman named Iris, whose father passes away, and unbeknownst to her, he leaves her this pub, but also like this giant kind of like mansion or whatever that's attached to the pub, and you know, she's just basically, you know, the guy who kind of says, yeah, you own it now, you're responsible for it all, we can kind of help you sell it, but then she sees that her father had recorded this video that was basically like, you know, you're now responsible for this thing, that it lives in the basement, like, and starts kind of laying all these ground rules for her to let people interact with this thing in the basement. She doesn't even really know what the hell it is or what he's talking about. Then at the same time, this guy, played by Jeremy Irvine, comes in and wants to give her like a shit ton of money to talk to this thing that's in the basement. And so what it is there's this spirit, I guess, but it also seems like it manifests itself pretty well. The titular Baghead, which it looks like this woman, with a bag over her head. And
she looks like a sackhead Jason. She has like one eye all cut out, and
and the deal with it is that you give her a piece of something that belonged to a loved one who had died. The thing like eats it, and then channels that spirit so that you can talk to them once again. But you're not supposed to let it go for more than 2 minutes, because this thing is going to do everything that it can to escape and start fucking with your head to try to figure out how it can get out. And, you know, she kind of sees this almost like, oh, well, maybe this is like a money-making type of thing, because, you know, people are going to pay me to, you know.
Right, and she'd just been evicted. She had nothing.
Right.
When we see her, when we meet her in the movie, she's breaking back into her apartment to get some of her clothes out.
Right.
so that's why she's so keen to take over this pub, and it's somewhere to live. And then she finds out, yo, this guy's going to pay me $2,000, you know, to go down to the basement.
Right. But then also she's trying, like, she wants to talk to find out, like, from her dad, like, why did you leave, you know, mom and I? Why, you know, why we never heard from you? Like, what the fuck's the deal? And then, you know, and her girlfriend is just like, this shit doesn't seem right. Like, you probably shouldn't do this. And she's like, it'll be fine. You know, I mean, it kind of falls into, you know, there's like a, I don't know if this is an Irish horror movie or not. There's a lot of like kind of pretty good.
It's from somewhere. I forget where, because I heard about it on a podcast, which made me want to watch it. I have no idea who this girl was.
I'm not sure
exactly from where.
It was good. It was a, you know, it was. I didn't feel like it wasted my time, But, you know, I also, I mean, then there was like a little bit of kind of a twist at the end, but
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. It seemed almost like if there was like a horror anthology, this would be a really good half an hour.
Yes, and apparently it is. It is something that was a short film that got turned into a feature length. I remember hearing that about it. My it was okay. My kind of thing. Not only, yeah, I felt like it had a more interesting premise than it did what it executed on.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and I don't know if you noticed this, but I don't know who you know, director of photography was or whatever, or what this was shot on, but it looked like a fucking Goosebumps episode to me.
Yeah.
Like, there was something way about, it was either way it was shot, the way it was lit, or something.
Yeah.
But I was like, is this shit on Shudder or the fucking Disney Channel? Like, I'm like, this shit looks like something that would have been on when I got home from school. You know, like.
That reminds and then, me. I've heard the new Goosebumps with Justin Long is actually pretty good. I need to watch that.
Mm-hmm, it is. Yeah, I liked it. But yeah, and then it sets, and the guy that I was listening to was kind of saying, oh, well, you know, it's like an Irish kind of a talk to me, or, you know, one of those, that type of thing. Just not, obviously not, you know, the same, like, grabbing the hand, but, you know, you can see where the maybe inspiration would have come from, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, well, and the way he described it was, oh, well, once she finds out, people can, like, talk to their, you know, past loved ones or whatever, they start showing up and I'm like, oh, so it's like you're going to see a lot of ghosts and, like, you know, no. It's like one fucking dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's centered around literally, and maybe it's a money thing or I don't know, but there's I don't know, five characters in the whole movie.
Right.
So, you know, when you get something like that, you've really got to deliver on almost everything else because, number one, it's pretty obvious who's going to still be around when you get to the 85-minute mark of this thing, right?
Right.
And then it does the other thing that so many of these Shudder movies do, where they put this twist in it, and they have this ending that's supposed to leave you going, oh, shit. And maybe the first time it happened, I might have said, oh, shit. But at this point, I almost expect these Shudder things to end this way.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, again with this shit.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I also kind of, like, expected this to be, I think, you know, like talk to me in the sense of, like, oh, okay, like, yeah, there's gonna be, you know, all of these people that come and
yeah,
want to converse with the ghostest with the mostest, and yeah, right. I mean, it was just the one guy. He's just like, no, man, it's just me.
Yeah.
All right.
And she's like, well, something bad happened. Can you help? He's like, sure. And then he's like, let me go again.
Yeah, like, exactly, yeah.
Like, okay.
Right? This doesn't seem at all weird to you. But yeah, I mean, it was, and the twist, it was interesting, but also, like you said, like, you know, it's like, all right, like, yeah. I mean,
again with this.
We've kind of seen these things so many times that it's like, you know, something's coming, whether or not it ends up, you know, being any good is another thing entirely.
Right.
But just like I was actually, like, pretty happy that for the, I know you don't watch trailers, but, like, for the latest M. Night Shyamalan movie, like, they put kind of, like, what the twist is, they put it right in the trailer. Like, they tell, you know, there's no, like, you're not
guessing. Making Blumhouse movies now.
I mean, it actually seems, it kind of feels like a, almost like a Stephen King, you know, story, to be honest.
Oh, hell yeah. Honest. I'm going to watch it regardless. I'm just saying that's such a Blumhouse thing to do.
Right. Yeah. I think they kind of had to, though, because, I mean, you know, it's not like it's a twist at the end of the movie. I mean, it's the central premise of the film.
Oh, gotcha. So, yeah.
I mean, you kind of understand why, but you also feel like, you know, that given that it's him, you're like, all right, well, this is way too, if this is in the trailer, then.
Something else
is coming. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so the second movie that we're talking about is with kind of the actress of the moment, Sydney Sweeney, and that is Immaculate. So directed by Michael Mahan, which I'm not familiar with his work. And so basically, she plays a young woman who, as a child, basically fell through the ice and died, was dead for quite a while. When she said how many minutes she was dead for, I was like,
Oh, you were dead.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, how far did they get into the autopsy? And then kind of ever since then, she feels as if, you know, she's been basically been chosen by God and makes the choice to become a nun at this this convent in I want to say it's in Italy. And basically this is a convent where nuns go basically when they're kind of it's essentially like almost like a hospice for nuns. So they're kind of on their way out, so they go stay at this convent. But you know, a bunch of stuff kind of starts happening where you realize that not everything is the way that it looks in this convent, especially because it's not long after she gets there that she becomes pregnant. And so they're like, oh, you know, that's kind of where the immaculate part of the title comes in. And then things, you know, kind of go from there. And it's a typical, it's kind of a typical nunsploitation film. You know, I mean, you know, nuns and Catholicism, especially like, you know, really kind of old world, deep rooted Catholicism. There's so many kind of scary type of things and so much imagery of blood and, you know, suffering and then, you know, and all that stuff that it just really does kind of lend itself to this type of thing. You know, I thought she was great in it, and I think she's a very talented actress. You know, it's just that for me, once you kind of like it, once you kind of find out what's going on, you're just like, oh, like it wasn't, I don't know.
Well, for me, it was fine. It didn't really flip my switch the way it seemed to do a lot of people's. What I will say that I thought was really cool, once the reveal kind of happened, I was like, this is probably, and I wish I'd went on to the theater. I was like, this is probably as close to like seeing a Stuart Gordon movie on the big screen again.
Oh, yeah.
As I could have gotten, right? Because it felt so, almost like a big budget full moon movie or something. But somehow they tricked like lots of people into going to see it instead of it going straight to VHS, you know? I thought, you know, again, there were things where I was just like, okay. You know, and it's one of these things, and I talked about this all the time when it comes down to these type of movies. I just get mad because I'm just like, and not necessarily in this one because, you know, there was more going on. But typically when you see this, and I hope this shit doesn't really happen still like in real life. Like, I hope people still aren't traveling over there to be nuns after all the shit we've seen in these movies. Like, why would you ever do that?
Right.
But anyway, but it's like I watch these things and I'm like, dude, they're old ladies. Like, just throat punch her and leave. Like,
exactly.
Why are you still here? Like,
right. Yeah.
Not necessarily in this one, like I said, because there are other, you know, extenuating circumstances, things going on, but typically, it's like, oh, I can't leave. Why?
Right.
Fucking throat punch her. Leave.
Right.
Like, not. She's an old lady.
Well, just right. And that's kind of how the movie starts, is this woman, this nun trying to run away and then getting dragged back. And I'm like, this woman has like scoliosis. Like, her spine, she looks like a question mark. Like, why are you, how are you not able? Like,
if you're that scared, right, and you're that sure that something's on the up and up, don't worry about waking her up with the keys. Grab her fucking pillow, hold it over her really old head for like 10 seconds. Movie's over. Like, you're good.
Right. No one will think she was, they'll just think God killed her.
Exactly. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, like I said, and then the ending, I was just like, I get it for the shock value, but I just kind of rolled my eyes at it. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it also, to me, felt like you could look at this one of two ways. You could look at it that it was kind of trying to be one thing, but then wanted to make you believe it was one type of an impregnation movie when it ended up being something else. Or they're like, they wanted you to think it was one thing, then it ended up being something else, but no, it actually was the third thing. Because,
right.
Because, you know, they had mentioned it at some point in the movie how, like, sometimes Satan works through people trying to do good works or something.
Through the light, yeah, or something
like
that.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know. You know, there are so many other good non-sploitation movies. You know, I mean, like, you know, we talked about Saint Maud, which it really was, you know, even though that wasn't necessarily a non-sploitation movie, that was more of like a revelations type of you know, that type of stuff. But you know, and obviously, if you want a good, I mean, you got to go back to Rosemary's Baby, which is still You know, still
a banger
to this day, right? Like,
I'm even though I wasn't crazy about it, I appreciate the fact that the stuff's still made, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, it was in theaters all over this country and made a shit ton of money. That's great.
Yeah. You know? No, me too. Yeah. Although I will say, it was like, and this is where I was talking to Lynn. I was like, you know, I just, you know, when you look at it, they're like, you know, for gore, you know, rated R for gore and bloody violent content. And I was just like, ah, this feels kind of tame. Like,
yeah. I mean, I get.
but I, again, that's, there's you and I.
Right. Most people like, would have considered the last 3 to 4 minutes of this movie.
But even also parts of like you know, some of the stuff she sees before she tries to get out, right? Like, you know, most people would be like, that's awful. And I'm just like,
all right.
Like, barely moves the needle.
Yeah.
Which I realize is more of a me thing than...
yeah, for sure.
But I mean, I remember when, I don't know if it was like Fantastic Fest or what, or South by Southwest, you know, when there's like all these reports of like all these horror movies, Late Night with the Devil being one of them, and this being one of them. And what I had read was there were like, of all the horror movies, like some really good horror movies got shown at South by Southwest. Of all of them, Immaculate was kind of like the weakest, but it was still, you know, theater full of people.
That's a good problem to have. Right?
You know, good time. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So... but yeah, so that's video on demand. Not sure. I'm sure it'll be streaming at some point somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. I did like how they dressed her up. I was like a nice little kind of like Midsummer. You know, nod there, and she just was like, "I'm too young to be a mom."
Yeah. Right.
But so then on the game side, I don't know how Larian Studios, their idea of time, I guess, is different than mine, but they're like, we're gonna ship, you know, first was Q1, well, Q1 came and went for the physical edition of Baldur's Gate 3, and now they're like, we're gonna ship between April and May, and I'm like, my man, May follows April. There literally is no. I mean, there's no time between April and May. You're either in April.
Right.
Or you're in May. Like, there's no... It's not like there's, like, a day in between that's like, oh, it's Hundafar. You know, like, the magical day in between April and May. Like, no, right. Brother. Like, it literally... May ends at 11:59 in 59 seconds. May begins at midnight. That's how it works. Like, and if you want to get into some weird quantum metaphysical flash live between the seconds type of bullshit... If you can ship my game to me at that point, knock yourself out.
But, they're going to, but it's being shipped via the Event Horizon. So
exactly,
good luck.
Yeah. Somewhere the quantum fucking turnstile or whatever the fuck it's called.
Exactly.
It's getting fired up. Wrong, Barry.
Yeah, right. If your UPS guy looks like Sam Neill, get the fuck out of there, man.
Yeah, no shit. So so I have no idea when it's coming, and I don't even know what to expect because they picked a shipping time that doesn't exist, but you know. So I've just kind of been filling, you know, my time with with games that either like on my Steam Deck that I've played before, like I'm playing Deus Ex Mankind Divided at the moment, or stuff that I got via any of the subscription services. So I started playing Dave the Diver. It was one of those games that like during the like the spring sale, I was like, oh, maybe I'll get this for the Steam Deck, but I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't because I picked it up here. I mean, it's fine. It's you know, there's a it's one of those games where, you know, I have a very hard time sometimes with like part of the reason when I play like Ubisoft open world games, I like the way that they do things, is because it's very easy for me to kind of group activities. Like I could look at the map. Oh, okay, I got to do this, this, this. And it's, and even though there's a lot going on and there's a lot you can do, it's easier for me to kind of organize it. And so, and Dave the Diver is not that way. I mean, in it, to its credit, like basically the idea is that you're Dave and you are a diver and you, there's this lagoon and they call it the Blue Hole. And in this lagoon, as you go diving down, fish species that normally wouldn't hang out together all hang out in this lagoon. So you basically dive in the water and then you shoot these motherfuckers so that you can serve them at your sushi restaurant. So you dive by day. So and then at night, you all the fish that you catch at night, you go and play fucking with Root Beer Hopper or whatever the fucking game that was where you had to pour all the root beers and fling them down. So you run the sushi restaurant. So you set the menu based on your ingredients. Customers come in. You got to fill their orders. And there's a lot going on. So on the sushi restaurant side, you got to research dishes and train your hire staff, train staff. You know, you can manage, you've got fish that are now, I can grow, or I have like a fish hatchery there. But then when you're diving, you've got like a story you're doing. You've also got this ecological woman wants you to kill invasive fish or collect seashells. But also you can collect parts to upgrade your guns. So, I mean, I understand why they do it because it's like, hey, well, when you're diving, there's like a bunch of stuff you can do. Or you could just say, I'm just going to go and collect stuff for guns, or I'm just going to go and collect. Then there's also like time things like, oh, this person came to the restaurant and they want a special dish and they're only going to be there for 3 days. Or there's an event, so you got to make sure you got jellyfish because it's the jellyfish event. So all your dishes need to have jellyfish, you know. But there's a lot to do, but it's so unstructured. I have the difficult time figuring out what I'm supposed to be doing. And really, you're doing whatever you want. Like, it doesn't cost any money to dive. You only are allowed like X number of dives per day. So how you choose to spend your time is up to you. And then as you get money, like, you want to do the stuff that gets you money because then you can upgrade your equipment so you can dive further, you know, carry more stuff, things like that. But, you know, it's like, there's so much stuff to then keep track of that I find myself a little, I don't know if overwhelmed's the right, it's a little busy. It's like, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, it's like I want something a little more focused so that when I'm doing something, and I know that games these days are, I mean, it's all just systems, but there's just kind of so much going on that at times I'm just like, all right, am I supposed to be getting fish? And then is this the right, you know, seashell or blah? And it's, you know, and I know part of that is just me, but also I just feel like there's just kind of like just a lot of shit going on. And, you know, to its credit, it's like a $15 game and there's a ton of shit to do as long as you like diving. So, you know, you know, I mean, it's filling the gap. Like I downloaded Diablo 4. I just, for whatever reason, just can't bring myself to start playing it.
I started it.
Is it any good?
It's Diablo. I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, it's very much Diablo. I am playing as a necromancer because I never got to do that in 3 because that character came out after and I wasn't going to pay any more money for it. So it's fun, you know, for that aspect for me, just playing a Diablo in a different way. But
yeah.
But you know, the story is what it is. You know, they summon Lilith there, the Blood Queen, or the, what is she, the Daughter of Hate or something that they keep calling her.
I don't know.
That doesn't matter. And yeah, you just go into different places and jam on the buttons and watch them die, or you die. You know, it's like, then, I mean, it doesn't do anything really. It's probably the best looking and best playing version of Diablo, but it's still just Diablo.
Yeah. And that was kind of like, I was like, well, I could start it up, but I was like, I don't know. I just didn't. And I'll play it at some point, for sure.
Yeah.
But I just was like, eh.
That's for me, you know, I was still doing my points. So it was just, I need to play X amount of Game Pass games, you know, a week. Right. I don't even have to play them for long. I just have to boot them up. And I was like, you know. And then I ended up, you know, this was Walmart had it for $20 on PS5, so I bought the physical. But I imagine I'll probably finish it on Game Pass and just never play it again.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do the story. I'm interested in that post-game shit or any
neither.
Season passes or any of that crap.
Yeah. No, me neither. I was absolutely not going to do any of that shit, for sure. And like I said, playing Deus Ex another game that I was like, I kind of remember stuff that's happening, but for the most part, I don't.
Well, I played that just because I watched you stream it back when you were streaming the first time.
Okay.
I was watching you play it, and I was like, man, this shit looks cool as shit. And I got it from, I think Gamefly had it on sale.
Yeah.
At the time, it was 20. Now you can get it for like a dollar every other day, it seems like. But
I mean, I got it free from Epic Game Store. So
yeah, they're just giving it away at this point. But at the time, you know, $20 was pretty good for it. And it was the first one I had played, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah. I mean, well, now that they're not making another one, I can see why they're just like, who cares?
Right.
So
I think I bought the sequel. I never played it.
This one is the sequel.
Oh, then no, okay. I didn't play this before.
Yeah, so Human Revolution was the first one.
Okay, I gotcha.
This is the second one. This is Mankind Divided, yeah.
Gotcha. I got it mixed up. Okay, yeah. So I watched you stream the previous one then.
Yeah. And I mean, it's good. But it does also kind of suffer from, like, if you're not going to get another one. So if they, and I don't remember if, I want to say when they made it, they had always kind of envisioned it being three games, but I don't know how much it ends in a way that, you know, needs a third game or whatever. But
right.
So you've been trying to play Fallout 4, is that right?
So I just wanted to fucking play Fallout. Like, I finished the show, and for me to finish a show, you know, it was a fucking good show.
Yeah.
And for my money,
it is good.
It's probably my favorite video game adaptation, like, to date.
I think it's good. Yeah,
I think it's that good because in that it, you knew exactly what it was. It was Fallout, 100% to the gills. It's Fallout, right? But it tells an engaging story, and I was interested in the characters, and I just had a really good time with it. The effects were good. Everything about it's good.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm gonna play Fallout. And I'm like, all right. Well, I had 4, and I played many hours of 4. And for whatever reason, I just stopped playing 4. I was just like, eh. You know, I love 3, played the shit out of 3. I love New Vegas, played the shit out of New Vegas.
I did get New Vegas for the Steam Deck, and I haven't touched it yet.
Yeah. So I wanted to play Fallout, right? And so I was like, I have 76. I bought it. I think it was when it came out, and it was such a disaster. GameStop was essentially trying to give it to you. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, I bought something else, right? And they were like, you know, for a dollar or two, I think it was $2, you could get this Fallout 76. And I was like, you know, for fucking $2, sure. I think it was $1.99.
Uh-huh.
And not long after it launched. Like, they were literally trying. I guess they had, like, millions of copies and were like, oh, we fucked up. Anyway, so never installed it. Just, you know, whatever. So I put Fallout 4 on my PS5 because there's, you know, this upgrade and this and that. So I install it, and the only option I have is to start a new game. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing that because I was 30 hours or so into this thing. Mm-hmm. And so when I clicked on continue, apparently the transfer of cloud saves are tied to a higher tier of PS Plus than I have.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, I'm not I'm not paying for one of the more expensive PS Pluses. I'm going to use the same one I've had for 20 fucking years.
Yeah, like, that's such bullshit, because that was always the thing with PS Plus was,
yeah,
you know, you got the cloud saves.
Right. So that was a no-go. So I got the PS4 Saturday morning, and I hooked it up. Or no, I hooked it up Friday night before, after we got off Destiny. Mm-hmm. And I'd forgotten, because I had PS4 had to update, Fallout then had to update, it's the whole thing. I had forgotten that one of the issues I had on my PS4, outside of the Bluetooth interference when I would use the gold headset, is that I had the disc eject error.
Oh, which you can fix.
Yeah.
That used to happen to me all the time before my actually I'm trying to remember if it happened on my Pro, the Spider-Man one. I think it did.
Yeah. So I had fixed it before, because I'd had it before. One of them was to turn the manual eject screw. So yeah. Did that. That worked before. That did not work this time.
Oh no.
So because I would be doing the update and then the fucker would just eject the disc. And this was like a, I forget how many gig update. It was not insubstantial.
Yeah.
So I was like, so the turning the screw thing didn't work. So I started doing more research, and this one guy, he had four things you could do.
Oh, no.
I'm like, all right, let me watch this guy. So step one was just to clean it really good. Clean around the, you know, whatever. Of course, I'm not doing that.
He gave it a bath.
Nope. Didn't even bother. I knew that wasn't it.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah, right. I dumped it in the tub. That didn't work. I've made a horrible mistake.
Yeah. Well, it was like, take the air duster and shit. It's like, it might just be. No, it's not. It's not just dusty, sir. That's not it.
Yeah.
We've been down this road. So the second one was to do the screw thing, but I already done that. The third one was to take apart the PS4, and there's this little metal piece that interacts the sensor when you press the button. And that's what ejects your disc, right? Sometimes they can get bent, and you have to bend it back ever so slightly.
Uh-huh.
So I did that, and I put it back in, and I let it do its thing. And it ran for about an hour, and I heard the beep, and out comes the disc.
Oh.
So I go back to the video, and step four, and he literally said, if you've done everything else, and you're just fed up with the bullshit, you can just rip the eject button out. And I was like, sold. You are speaking my language, sir. So I took the fucker back apart, and I just took the goddamn eject button out. Just all the way out.
Which makes sense, because you can just eject it from...
Yep. From the inside, yep. And I haven't had an issue since.
Huh.
So I was playing Fallout 4 on a PS4. Now, the issue is that it's Fallout 4 on a PS4. It's janky as all hell. It's clunky. But it's Fallout. And then, while I was doing all of that, I installed 76 on the Series X. I was like, I just need a taste of the world, for God's sake. I just want to play, even if it's not for long.
Yeah.
Right? So that game, it starts you off in Vault 76. You create your character, and it's I forget what they call it, something day, where they're opening the door and sending everybody out.
Oh,
and they're
yeah.
like,
yeah.
It's your job to repopulate, you know, the world. And that's literally what they do. They open the door and tell you go. And I'm like, go where? Do what? I don't know where to go. And so I ran into an NPC outside, and she was like, she was trying to get in. They'd been waiting outside in the hopes of getting in Vault 76. She's like, we came all this way. They're like, well, it's open. But you're like, everybody's gone, though. And then she's like, oh, the treasure. And then you can either lie and be like, there's no treasure. Or you can be like, what are you talking about? This and that. I don't know. And then, like, so I'm going around. It gives you, like, a few starter things. I got, like, this little shotgun, whatever. There are ghouls running at me. And then, like, there's other people hopping around who are much higher level than me, and I'm like, should I steer clear of them? Like, are they gonna fuck me up? Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
And so I played, like, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, and I just turned it off. I was like, yeah, I installed it.
Yeah, because it's like an MMO, right?
Right. I was like, that one's not gonna be for me. I need clearer direction, at least to start me off, than just go. Like, I don't know, go what? Go do what?
Right.
So.
Right.
repopulate Earth. Can you fuck people in this game? That's the only way I know how to do that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
I know they have not made any adjustments to that process.
That hasn't worked out great for me in real life. So I don't imagine I want to do that again here in video game form. Like, is there anything else to do? I'm not looking to relive past mistakes in the wasteland over here.
I had seen that, you know, they put out the texture pack for 4, and it was like a disaster. Like, it broke people's games, and it didn't look better, made it run worse, and I'm like, oh god. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Because that was a game that I started for. I same as you. I loved 3. I played the shit out of 3. I made a bunch of money writing achievement guides for all the DLC for 3. I really enjoyed it. And then, so when 4 came out, I was looking forward to it, but then it was like, you know, it's just this if you could turn off the base building, if you could just say to him, stop fucking calling me, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
And then maybe there was, you know, there's quests you missed out on or whatever. I would have been okay with it, but
I would have been fine with that. Yeah.
You know, the degree to which they, oh, you know, raiders are raiding your base. Okay, yeah. Well.
And they can have it. Like, I don't want to go back there.
Shoot them. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, that. There's also that.
Like. But and then it just it didn't grab me in the same way that 3 did. I don't even remember. You know, 3 is like you had a purpose, right? You're like, I gotta go find Liam Neeson. He's been taken.
Right.
4. I don't even remember what the reasoning was in 4.
I don't either.
What the guiding. You know.
See, that would also be a problem now, where it's like, okay, if I got back into it, then I'm level 29. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what has happened previously, because I hadn't played it since 2017, or at least that's the last time I got a trophy in it. So
you just have like a midlife crisis in Fallout. You're like, I don't know, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I'm level 29, what have I accomplished?
Yeah.
I guess I'll just go wander the wasteland until I die.
I went into a toy store and murdered a bunch of super mutants. That's what I decided. Yeah, that's what I did when I played it the other day.
I like it. And I did start playing. What was it? The Stellar Blade. Because of the demo and.
I didn't know there was a demo.
Yeah. I mean, and it's one of those things where, like, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, kind of in the fall when things are on sale. It's like there's going to be a bunch of games that I'm going to be able to pick up on the cheap, like Stellar Blade and Rise of the Ronin and all these games that are like coming out now that I'm not playing but will want to get to at some point.
Right.
And I mean, it looked really good, and you know, the combat seemed decent. I don't know. I don't care. I think it's because it's a demo, so it's like, you know, they're usually pretty disjointed. Like, oh, here's the opening mission, then here's you playing, you know, later on, and I just was like, I don't care. Like, so not to say that it's not going to be a good game or something I'd want to play, but just for whatever reason, it wasn't something I felt like spending a bunch of time in. You know, because I'm more inclined just to jump into Destiny now than I, you know, haven't been in a while, because Onslaught is just so easy to just kind of jump into and play, you know, 10, 15 minutes of, more so I feel like than any other kind of game type, because, you know, you feel like you're actually accomplishing something as opposed to some of the other game types where you just feel like you're banging your head against the wall.
Right. Are you doing the same shit you've done?
Yeah.
You know, a million times.
Yeah. So I've just kind of been doing that. So it's like, well, if I could spend a half an hour or whatever on this demo, or I could jump into destiny and make Shaq's proud of me. So
that's right.
But yeah, so I'm glad that mode is sticking around. I hope they, like, ideally what you want is, like, if they don't give a shit about Gambit anymore, then just get rid of Gambit and make Onslaught kind of the Gambit thing.
Yep.
And I do think, though, they should change it to 20 waves instead of 10. Just make it a little bit longer, something kind of on the same, like, length of time as some of the other stuff. But, you know, throw that. Yeah, make that something. Because there's plenty of seasonal activities that stick around, but they also don't give you any incentive at all to do them. So hopefully, I mean, because it is a lot of fun and they clearly put a lot of work into it, that, you know, this is something that they put into the rotation and in a meaningful way. You just don't have all these things in your inventory where you're like, what the fuck is a Defiant Key? And they're like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
God, I hope we're past that. I hope we're forever past that. I don't know that we are, but good God.
I mean, with them moving to the episodes and having fewer of them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's like, what you want is, with a longer time, you know, is it gives them a chance to maybe experiment with things and say, hey, we're going to... Because they do a lot of that. It's just that they do it with the Crucible, where it's like,
yeah,
I'm not touching any of that shit. But, like, if they can do the same type of, you know, have a lab for PvE or co-op, whatever, that would be great.
Well, I think I certainly, and I'm not averse to the grind. You know, I've been playing since, again, the first one, obviously. So the amount, just, you know, the amount of currencies that people bitch about now, they have no idea what it used to be like, right?
Yes.
But at least, you know, it seems like they've started to go away. Like, it's way less than it used to be already. Yeah. And it seems like they're going away from all these currencies and things. I just, why are these keys all the time? And it's this thing and that thing. And I'm just like, ugh.
Right. And then because they keep the seasonal activities around for multiple seasons.
Yeah.
They have a purpose, but whether or not you remember what the purpose is.
Or
even use them in the first place.
Or you even need to use. Yeah, exactly. Like. Right. I play so much during the season. I've got everything that I was interested in long before, you know, the new season rolls around. So,
right. So, but but I mean, I've been having, you know, I've been having a good time with it, and we're getting close. I mean, we're only like a month or so away. So,
yep.
It'll kind of be exciting as we get closer to the final shape, because, you know, it really does look like. You know, the changes that they're making, that they're just going all out. So I think ultimately, as disappointing as it was, you know, to not have it in February, it seems like they're making really good use of the extra time.
Yep.
So that'll be exciting. And maybe by then, Baldur's Gate 3 will have arrived. But who knows? Because maybe it's going to ship between May and June. I don't know. Dare to dream.
Yeah. So,
but, you know, hopefully, you know, by our next show, I'll have another update, but I don't, I'm not, not feeling positive about it, but we'll see. So, but, whatever happens in the next 2 weeks, hopefully, you'll be here with us, for our next exciting episode as we creep ever closer to, the 200th episode.
Yeah.
Which should happen sometime in the summer from the looks of it, the way we're heading. So, this has been episode 197. Thank you so much for hanging out, and we look forward to spending some more time with you in the next 2 weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night, and have a good